Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newest edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, coming to you from the JMRA studios located in a scenic office slash bedroom makeup of some kind in my home. I'm actually looking to move and actually get like a little kind of office slash studio put together so it actually looks like something rather real rather than being in something that used to be a bedroom. Anyhow, you don't care about that. Let's get to the stuff you do care about. It's time to give you the social media rundown on JoeMontanasRightArm.com, of course. We gave you the top 32 WrestleMania matches of all time. Last week did a WrestleMania recap on Monday as well, and we're actually going to do a little bit more in-depth of a WrestleMania recap here in a sec, which is what we'll talk about momentarily. You can find us on Twitter, at JoeMsRightArm. Also on Instagram, JMontanasRightArm. You can check us out there as well. On Facebook, the whole rundown. So a lot of great stuff to get to you for this podcast. And the first thing I want to do, and much of this show is going to be stemming around WrestleMania and the events on Monday, because quite honestly, that's like the most important thing going on right now in the world of sports. I'm not even joking. It's bigger than baseball. Like, it's, I mean, my perspective is skewed because the Phillies are atrocious right now, and that doesn't matter. Hockey, it's, we're getting towards the nitty gritty time of the playoffs. Hopefully the Flyers are a part of it. The Sixers are just not good, and the Eagles aren't playing. So, other than that, the only big thing, and I wanted to jump to this actually first, is, boy, I'll tell you what, one of my favorite events every year is the Final Four and the national title game, because I've said this before to some of my friends, like, for most of those guys, for about 95% of the people participating in the tournament, like, that's the biggest moment of their life, the tournament. That's the biggest moment. Nothing that comes after that, you know, short of the usual, you know, having kids and getting married and all that stuff, short of that, that's the biggest professional moment many of them will have in their life. I shouldn't say professional because they're college students, but you get the gist. Like, that's the biggest moment of their life. And you don't, I mean, it's so crazy to see it. And then when you see what happened on Monday night with North Carolina and Villanova and Chris Jenkins hitting that buzzer-beating three to win the national title for Villanova, like, that makes college athletics so cool. And to be able to see those guys go through that. And the great thing is, for a guy like Chris Jenkins, you know, his mom taught him how to play basketball. This is a guy who, no matter what happens to him from a basketball sense in the next 10, 15 years, it's all downhill for Chris Jenkins from here, to be honest with you. I mean, short of him ending up in the NBA and playing a critical role in like the Golden State Warriors winning NBA titles or something, like, it's not going to get bigger or better than what he just did on Monday night. So tip of the cap to Villanova. Congratulations to them. They are not what I would call a quintessential Philadelphia sports team, because they don't possess a lot of the properties that Philadelphia sports teams have. A lot of the Philadelphia sports teams are these gritty blue-collar outfits, which is not what Villanova is, but Villanova is a part of the Big Five. If you follow college basketball, the Big Five is really a combination of the five Philadelphia or local Philadelphia schools, and Villanova was a part of that. They caught some flack for not really participating in it at a certain point in their history, but now are certainly far more back in the mix than what they were, and now they have a national title, so congratulations to that. Okay, let's get to the main event of this program. So, little known fact about yours truly, I am on the WWE Fan Council. So what happens is, after shows and big events and stuff, I get surveys floated my way, and I fill them out on their shows, depending upon whether or not I saw it. So that's how we're actually going to talk about WrestleMania. We'll see how this goes, and then we'll do a quick hit on Raw. So, we're going to go through the question, and then it gives you the breakdown on each match, and then we can go and discuss a little bit from there. So We're going to try to get through this as quickly as possible so you're not, like, listening to this for eons and waiting for me to fill out some poor survey online as I talk to you while I do it. Anyhow, so the opening question, it deals with the WrestleMania 32 kickoff show. So one of the problems with WrestleMania this year, they had it, if you don't know, in AT&T Stadium in Jerry World, as they call it, at Cowboys, the Cowboys Stadium in Arlington slash Dallas, whatever you want to call it. The WWE called it Dallas, but it's, I believe, technically in Arlington. But anyways, here's the deal. The kickoff show was meant to have far more fans in the building than what actually happened, and there were some issues getting people in the building because of some technological issues, apparently, not being able to access scanners properly, things of that nature. So they were able to get everybody in, but as of, like, the Usos-Dudley Boys match that concluded the kickoff show, the building was still kind of trying to fill in. Eventually, it did certainly a lot by the start of the show, and where a lot of the fans were in place for the critical elements of the first couple of matches. But, man, it's frustrating to see stuff like that happen. I went to WrestleMania 29. I had a great experience at MetLife Stadium. So they do a great job of getting you in and out of the building pretty effectively, but apparently they had some problems with it. For the kickoff show. So it made the matches look kind of weird, considering you have 100,000 seats potentially in the building is what they at least announced, and you see like half the crowd there, what looked like half the crowd at least, watching on TV. So, Kalisto versus Ryback for the United States title. We can rate this one of six ways. Poor, fair, good, very good, excellent. Don't know, didn't watch. And I'm going to start this off with an ominous don't know, didn't watch, because I had a party on Sunday night. And man, it takes a while. Like, when you're planning even for a WrestleMania party, like, you got to clean, you got to do all this stuff. And I had to run some errands for people and things like that. I could not devote that critical seventh hour to the programming. So I missed the Kalisto Ryback match when it happened live. I saw the highlights, but I'm not going to count that. I'm not going to try to shuck and jive you and tell you I saw that match. Kalisto won. That's the most important thing, which I thought was actually good for him as he continues his run as the United States champ. Now, as for everything else, I saw it. Team Total Divas versus Team Bad and Blonde, 5-on-5. This was the Brie Bella send-off, basically. It wasn't a bad match. We're going to rate this one as, I'm going to say it was, for what it was good. I'll be nice. A worst case scenario affair, but I thought the ending was good with getting Brie Bella to get Naomi to tap out and then send her out on top. She gets carried off. The rare happy ending for a professional wrestler. It rarely happens. So it was great to see them give that opportunity to Brie Bella to kind of ride off into the sunset. A couple takeaways from that match. Eva Marie, man, people, I don't know how the WWE has missed the boat so wildly on the fan reaction to her. I was at an NXT show where she performed in Philly. Dude, if you think people don't like Roman Reigns, they really don't like her. I just think, I mean, at least if I'm assessing why it's happening, like, she doesn't come off as a likable character at all in Total Divas on the show or on NXT. And she's got that rap, you know, people have gotten injured under her watch before. So, like, it's tough, man. It really is. It's tough to get behind somebody like that. So she's got an uphill climb. But anyhow, the primo thing of this match, though, love the bicycle kick by Lana. If you don't know who Lana is, okay, go to Google and search Lana, L-A-N-A, WWE. You will not be disappointed. And search her out on Instagram. Again, you will not be disappointed. I would not steer you wrong. The Usos versus the Dudley Boys in a tag team match. It was centered around the use of tables, more or less. I haven't been a big fan of this angle, so I'm going to give that one a fair. It was okay. It did what it needed to do. The Usos got their victory, and then, of course, the Dudley Boys enacted their revenge the next night on Raw. But anyhow, Not a terrible match by any stretch, but it did the job. We'll go fair. Okay, next up, we had to answer some quick demographic questions. How many people were with you? All that stuff. I watched it with about, I think it was about 10 or 11 people, something like that. Anyhow, this is a big question. Please rate your overall enjoyment of WrestleMania 32. From top to bottom, wrestling-wise, not as strong, not as solid of a card as what we saw a year ago. Poor fare. Good, very good, excellent. Can't go excellent. It was too long. Too long. I mean, look, I love wrestling as much as the next guy and gal. About 6 hours? Crazy. I will say this, by the way, getting back to the kickoff show for 1 second, the best part of the kickoff show was actually that, at least for me, the unveiling of the women's championship, which we'll get to in a little bit. The overall rating, not poor, not excellent. Man, it's just, oh God. I'm gonna go good. It was under the circumstances. You could make a case for very good, but I just think there were so many bullet holes in a couple things as we go on. I'll give it a good. Well, I wouldn't say it was excellent. I would say it was a good show. Overall, there were just too many issues, like the Ambrose-Lesnar match, too short. And there wasn't enough, like, bells and whistles. Like, you promised no holds barred, and we get... I thought it was a squash. I mean, it looked like a glorified squash. He didn't get... Dean Ambrose got in very little offense. It just didn't seem like to me that, like, that was a legitimate, serious match. It just didn't, like, Lesnar just stomped all over him, cut off all the offense, cut off almost all the weapon offense. It just was, it was a tough issue, I think, to watch. Okay, what was your favorite matchup from WrestleMania 32? This is easy. Hands down, my favorite match was the triple threat match for the Women's Championship. Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch. If you follow the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, you know my affinity for Charlotte and the Flair family. I had to support that. And then Sasha Banks is amazing. And Becky Lynch is amazing, too. So you have three amazing women vying for the Women's Championship in the first title match for the Women's title. And thankfully, they retired the butterfly belt, no more. Charlotte will take that home with her and put it on her trophy case or on her mantle or something like that. And she ended up winning the match via an assist from Nature Boy Ric Flair, as only it should be. She's a heel. It's okay for heels to cheat, even in 2016. Man, I can't, like, the internet wrestling community is crazy to me. Like, these guys get all upset over stuff like that. Well, how can Ric Flair, a man, help a woman competing in the first women's championship match? Like, stop it. Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. They're supposed to make you mad. That's why they're heels. That's why they're bad guys. And gals. That's why it's set up that way. Crazy. But that was hands down to me the best match, because I think it was, to be honest, I thought it was the match that was like the most, I don't want to say honest, but you could see in the beginning of the match that they were nervous performing in front of 100,000 people. You could see the entrances, like, that came off to me as a legitimate presentation. Not that they don't do that normally, but they presented all three of them as credible representatives of sports entertainment, or as I like to call it, professional wrestling. Like, that was a legitimate thing, and I was so happy that they got basically time to do it. They got about 16 minutes, and it was treated like a serious match on WrestleMania. I can't tell you, first of all, that is the greatest match in the history of women/divas wrestling as it pertains to WrestleMania. Best women's match in WrestleMania history, period. I thought that the moonsault by Charlotte off the top rope onto the floor was insane. Tremendous move. Move of the match. I really enjoyed it. And I hope that they are savvy enough to try to plug the gaps and kind of prevent these three from wrestling against each other here for a while, because I think, you know, if they build this right, it's going to be a special occasion anytime those three meet up. I really believe that. So kudos to Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch. Match of the night by far. So we're going to go with that favorite matchup of WrestleMania 32. And really, the second best, I couldn't even tell you. Maybe Styles and Jericho, maybe the ladder match. I mean, there wasn't a ton on this show that I thought was just sensational. How would you, oh yeah, here we go. How would you rate each of the matches during WrestleMania 32? Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus The Miz versus Sin Cara versus Dolph Ziggler versus Zack Ryder versus Stardust in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title. I'm growing to be a big fan of Sami Zayn, especially after his performance against Nakamura last Friday night at NXT TakeOver. I thought he was tremendous. The dive through the ladder, that was crazy. And then, you know, the run out to the DDT on the other side of the ring, that was awesome. And then he almost murdered Kevin Owens with that suplex late in the match. I liked the match a lot. I thought the ending with Ryder winning was certainly unexpected, but, you know, looking at where they are going at the moment, it's a weird choice, certainly. Like, you could have given it to Stardust. Like, if your idea was just to put it on somebody and to get it off of them, presumably, I would think, for somebody else to win. I get that. But I just don't know if Ryder was the best choice. But anyhow, that's what they did. He won. Congratulations to him. That Razor Ramon photo with Razor holding the belt with him after the win at Mania, a.k.a. Scott Hall, and then going back to when Razor Ramon was the Intercontinental Champion with a young Zack Ryder holding his Intercontinental title. I thought that was really cool. So I think a lot of the credibility of him winning was certainly helped by that this is a guy who has struggled in the company and kind of is using this victory as really the biggest moment of his career, no doubt about that. So the rating I'll give this match will go very good. I thought it was a very good bout. You know, you look at ladder matches. Ladder matches are spot fests, and it is what it is. AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. Controversial match here in the sense that the result was Jericho beating Styles, and a lot of people freaked out about that. Again, you almost now, because of the Raw after Mania, kind of have to wait and see what they do. And they ended up making AJ Styles number one contender to the World Heavyweight title, now owned by Roman Reigns. Anyhow, I didn't have a problem with Jericho winning the match. I know a lot of people were crazy over it. But again, it is what it is, man. You have guys that have to kind of carry certain aspects of matches and certain aspects of angles, so I get why he won. And plus, it's Jericho. I'm not super shocked when he wins matches. We'll see what the rest of this business with Roman Reigns holds for not only Styles, but for Jericho as well, because he seems to be somewhat intertwined in that story. The League of Nations versus the New Day. This is a weird one because everyone's going to remember what happened after the match. The match itself will go good here. It was a good match, but, you know, you would have liked to have seen the New Day win, especially after they come out in that 20-foot-tall box of Bootio's cereal. Like, how can those guys lose after going through that? But they were tremendous. The fans loved them so much. And then, of course, the big angle at the end, the New Day loses clean to the League of Nations. League of Nations bragging about how great they are. And then cue Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, and Mick Foley to come out and clean their clocks, including three stunners from Austin, including one of Xavier Woods, which was hilarious, as Austin started dancing in the ring, and then poor Xavier Woods turns around and gets dropped with a stunner. Tremendous. Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose in a no-holds-barred street fight. I didn't like this match. I mean, I'm going to say, you know, Lesnar matches are rarely terrible, so I thought it was a good match, but again, not what you would expect out of Brock Lesnar at a WrestleMania. Just not enough offense for Ambrose, and I don't know if it's because they don't feel he's credible enough of a character yet, but he was built up that way and just did not deliver. Just didn't like it. Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. I mean, how do you not give this anything less than a very good after a guy basically splatters himself on a table off the top of Hell in a Cell? kudos to Shane McMahon. The match was a little unbelievable. Like, I'm not going to believe that Shane McMahon's capable of choking out The Undertaker. They tried to make you believe that. I know he has the MMA background, Shane, but, man, it's The Undertaker. Like, the dude is 6'10", 6'11", against the smaller Shane McMahon, who's cut to shreds. But still, I mean, come on, guys. Having said that, the jump off the top of the cage was spectacular. That's the spot of the match. You know, everything they did to build up to that, I thought was pretty good. The match itself was whatever, but no doubt that spot off the top of the cage was great, and it played into the finish, which is all you can ask for. He falls and misses The Undertaker off the leap off the top of the cage, and he doesn't win the match. That's perfect. The guy loses, doesn't get control of Raw, at least until 24 hours later when Vince basically takes X number of weeks of booking and flushes it down the toilet by saying, you know what, never mind, you can run the show for a few weeks, or, you know, we'll see how long it lasts. I wasn't in love with that at all. It almost made Shane jumping off the top of the cell kind of like, why did he do all this? If he was just going to be able to strong-arm Vince into it, or at least, you know, passive-aggressively move Vince into that maneuver of giving him control of the show. So anyhow, I'll give it a very good, for no other reason than the jump off the cage. Fine. The Charlotte versus Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch match for the Women's Championship. I thought this was excellent. I thought it was excellent. Look, it's not in the level of Bayley versus Sasha Banks, in my opinion. Those two matches from NXT were just out of this world. But WWE is not in the zone of giving the female performers that type of latitude and time for a match. They just haven't done it yet. This is certainly, they've gotten a lot better at it. And certainly this match here was a major step in the right direction. I just thought it was played out well. I thought the everyone is bitching about the end of the match. Like, shut up. Like, that's, Charlotte won. There were only two innings to that match. Charlotte was going to win, or Sasha Banks was going to win. I said earlier in the preview, I wouldn't have been against Becky Lynch winning. But you know what? It is what it is. They gave it to Charlotte. She deserved to get it. And, you know, she's a heel. So you always want the face chasing the heel. I think that's what you need. And in this case, that's what you have. Because if they keep Sasha Banks and Charlotte kind of separate for a little while, hopefully they can find a way to hold that off until SummerSlam. And that'll blow the roof off the place, man. That'll be tremendous. So hopefully that's where they go with it. We'll see if they implement Bayley into the mix at some point. But I love that match. Becky Lynch was amazing in that match as well on Sunday night. She doesn't get enough credit. She's a great performer, and I hope one day she's able to get her own title reign. Just a fantastic effort by her. Next up, Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the WWE. Next up, Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I didn't like the match. I didn't like it. It was boring. Now, look, I can sit here and watch wrestling with the best of them. But that match being positioned as late as it was, and it's a title match, it's going to go last in all likelihood. Only a couple of manias have had something other than the title match go, you know, last. But, geez, just a tough, tough thing to do to that match. It was predictable. It was by the book. There was not a lot of risk-taking in the match. It was just straightforward, in your face, this is what it is, fine. I'll give it a fair. Wasn't feeling it. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, again, it is what it is. I like the result of Baron Corbin winning. That's a little different, but the match itself, it's a Battle Royal. Battle Royals, so like the classic Battle Royals, 20 guys over the top. How many of those are ever good? I mean, it's rare. So I will say that this one, we'll give this one a fair. The Rock versus Eric Rowan. All of 6 seconds. They're putting this as a WrestleMania match. I mean, technically it was. It makes sense. But this was not good. This is not a good match. It was 6 seconds. How good could it have been? That gets a poor. Come on, guys. It's 6 seconds. 6 seconds. Why have him do that? Just so he can say he has the quickest pin in WrestleMania history? Ugh. I know they love The Rock, but guys, come on. Help out a little bit here. So that's one excellent on the show, which is, for WrestleMania, a little disappointing, to be honest with you. So when you look at the card itself, I mean, it's not the best of WrestleManias. I think, you know, you look at a match, you look at a card and see, okay, you have one match that's excellent and three very good matches, you think that'd be a great show. I think a lot of it had to do with the results and how they played out. I don't know how you do the League of Nations New Day thing with the New Day winning, if it's going to lead to what it led to. I get that, but man, those guys are so over. I don't see how they lose that match. It's crazy. Styles and Jericho, considering where they're going now, it looks like after Monday, I'm all right with that. And then the Zack Ryder thing. Zack Ryder lost the Intercontinental title the following night to The Miz, in part because of the setup to the finish of the ladder match, which made things on Monday night certainly quite understandable. So it's not the best WrestleMania. I think it's a WrestleMania that is extremely notable because it drew over 101,000 people, beating the 1987 record of WrestleMania 3's 93,173. And now that total has been surpassed. Vince McMahon and company breaking the all-time attendance record for a WrestleMania, as that's clearly one of the most attended events in AT&T Stadium history. All right, how well did WrestleMania 32 meet your expectations? It's a great question. Exceeded my expectations? No, I would say it met my expectations. You expected the women's match to be great. At least I did. And then everything else, you know, I wasn't shocked by anything else that happened. The only really super cool thing that happened was the Stone Cold Michaels Mick Foley thing with the League of Nations. That was awesome. The New Day coming out of a 20-foot box of Bootios. That was awesome. Like, a lot of the things that were good on this show outside of the couple matches were just like moments. You know, the Shane McMahon thing jumps off the top of Hell in a Cell. Like, the show itself was built around moments, which is actually somewhat similar to WrestleMania 3. Like, WrestleMania 3, if you go back and look at match by match, like how great that was, if you're really into those star ratings that Dave Meltzer does for the Wrestling Observer, no, that wasn't a great show by any stretch, but it was a show of moments. And I think, you know, when you have a card in a situation like the WWE had with all the injuries, that's kind of what you have to do, you know. You don't have a ton of great matches, so you have to try to create some memories and some moments, and I thought it did. All right, how would you, oh boy, some peripheral stuff. How would you rate WrestleMania 32 on each of the following? The storylines during the event. During the event? I'd say it was good, okay. Entertaining from start to finish. Good. Providing a good value for the price. Very good. They try. There's no question about that. That was a spectacle, and you're not going to see another show like that basically anywhere. The quality of the wrestling talent, it's very good. I mean, what are you going to say? The athleticism of the superstars. Charlotte's moonsault, excellent. Good enough for me. Providing unexpected moments. I'm going to say, yeah, it was excellent as far as that goes, because I didn't know The Rock was going to mess around with the Wyatt family. Who knew that? That was pretty cool to actually see that interaction, but The Rock slapping around Eric Rowan for 6 seconds. I mean, that was crazy, and of course that led to the return of John Cena and those two kind of holding off and holding forward against the Wyatt family, which was pretty interesting. The quality of the matches, again, good. I would say good as a whole, not tremendous, but good. The level of excitement during the event, I would say very good. You know, you're always entertained. All right, here's a critical one. The outcomes of the matches. Now, you're going to have a lot of idiots on as a part of the internet wrestling community who have this. They're going to be like, oh, this is poor. I didn't like, you know, Sasha Banks should have won. AJ Styles should have won. Like, all these people should have WrestleMania moments. That's not how the company works, man. It's just not. It's not what they do. The outcomes of the matches, I would say it was, at least for me, I would think it's good. I would have liked to have seen a few more bells and whistles in the title match, a few more bells and whistles in Hell in a Cell, but I get why it didn't happen. Like, I want to see some interference in Hell in a Cell. Like, there has to, if they're battling for the company, I got to see more, a little more than a one-on-one matchup. I wanted to see Vents there, so whatever. The entertainment value of the event. Excellent. Like, they're not, even bad WrestleMania still give you stuff to talk about afterwards. What was the ultimate highlight moment of WrestleMania 32? That's easy. Again, I go back to the women's match and the moonsault by Charlotte. That's easy. Oh, and I guess if a guy's going to jump off the top of a 25-foot cage or however big that was, I mean, you got to give him props for that. So Shane McMahon's jump off the top and Charlotte's moonsault. Those are the top moments for me. Ooh, they're giving me questions on Monday Night Raw now. I like it. Did you watch Monday Night Raw this past Monday, April 4th, following WrestleMania 32? You know I did. Do you plan on watching Payback Sunday, May 1st, 2016? Yes, I do. Why wouldn't I? And of course, the Raw after Mania. Normally, those things are pretty good. Please rate your overall enjoyment of the Monday Night Raw show on April 4th, 2016. Very good. I dug it the most. Well, not the most, but pretty good. Why did you say your enjoyment of Raw was very good? Okay, I thought the additions of the NXT stars, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, also Enzo and Big Cass, I thought those were great. It gave a new energy to the show. The four-way match at the end of Raw between AJ Styles, the returning Cesaro, also Kevin Owens, and Chris Jericho, I thought that was tremendous and a great way to kind of build interest into what's next for Roman Reigns. I thought that was pretty cool. The thing I hate about that show, though, is the crowd. The crowd after WrestleMania is it's stupid. It's just absolute chaos and nonsense. And it's people just trying to make themselves like the coolest kid in high school. They want to be the most popular kid. So they're going to come up with dumb chants, like the women's championship segment where they're doing the presentation of Charlotte. Like, okay, I get, hey, look, I would love to see Bayley. Trust me, Bayley's one of my favorite wrestlers. But, like, can you let these segments happen, and then if they suck, then you complain, rather than just hijacking segments? Like, they totally ruined that segment. They totally ruined it. And it's just every Raw after Mania now, since the Mania at MetLife Stadium, that's what we're getting. It's just utter nonsense. Like, guys, get it together. Let the folks, they're putting on the show for you. So don't show everybody up by trying to be the show. Which of the following new to Monday Night Raw superstars were you excited to see on Raw? That's a good question. I haven't seen it. I would say probably Enzo and Big Cass because of the personality. So I'm going to go with them. I like Apollo Crews. I haven't seen enough of him in like big spots. He wrestled Finn Balor, which was cool. Like that was a good match, but need to see a little more of him. Baron Corbin, he's all right. I think it's a size thing with him, and WWE needs to have some sizable monster alternatives to Big Show and Kane. I think he can certainly fit that bill as a giant tough guy. Oh, here's, jeez. They hit you with all these wrestling questions for a while, and now they hit you with food questions. A question I glossed over dealt with the advertising and which one of these spots have you seen during Raw or SmackDown. And it dealt with, like, candy, really, and also, you know, energy drinks and other stuff. So a lot of the stuff, you know, you just mark it off real quick. So now the next question is, how appealing are the following brands? And now I get to assess candy. This is great. Kit Kat, Butterfinger, Reese's, Snickers, Hershey's, M&M's. Okay. I love Kit Kats. Kit Kats are awesome. So I'm going to give that. That's extremely appealing to me. Butterfingers, meh, somewhat appealing, not the best. Reese's, not appealing at all. I don't like Reese's. Snickers, somewhat appealing. Not a big Snickers fan. Hershey's, same thing. Somewhat appealing, not the biggest Hershey's fans. M&M's, same thing. I'm not a huge M&M's guy. Somewhat appealing. I can rock with M&M's, but, you know, it's not the greatest in the world. When did you last purchase any of the following brands? M&M's, Snickers, Butterfinger, Hershey's, Kit Kat, Reese's. Oh my God. I don't even remember last time I purchased any of these. Over a year ago. Jesus. I think it's over a year ago for all of these. I don't think I have not gone out and bought any of these in over a year. Because I have weird teeth. I end up going to the dentist a lot. unfortunately, at this stage of my life. So I don't eat this stuff a lot. It's good. Well, don't let Tom Brady hear that. But it's, you know, it's pretty cool. How likely are you to purchase each of the following brands within the next month? I probably will not purchase any of these. Maybe a Kit Kat. Maybe M&M's. Maybe a Snickers. Maybe. Oh, man. Love it. Here's the next question. On the April 4th, 2016 episode of Raw, AJ Styles became the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship by defeating Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho in a fatal four-way. When AJ Styles faces Roman Reigns, who do you think will leave as the World Heavyweight Champion? It will be Roman Reigns. They will not take that belt off Roman Reigns anytime soon. What was the biggest surprise of the night at WrestleMania 32? Baron Corbin sending Kane over the top rope to win the... No. Shaquille O'Neal, Diamond Dallas Page, and Tatanka entering the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal surprise entrance. Yeah, that was surprising, but I don't think that's what you want as like a positive surprise. Brock Lesnar hitting 13 suplexes and one major F5 to defeat Dean Ambrose. No, that's pretty much what I thought would happen. The Rock and a returning John Cena teaming up against the Wyatt family to deliver a rock bottom, people's elbow, attitude adjustment, and five-knuckle shuffle. That definitely wasn't surprising. You knew The Rock was going to do something, and then the Wyatt family, once they stepped foot out there, they were going to get their clocks clean. Roman Reigns defying all the odds to become the new... No, he didn't defy any odds during the match. What odds did he defy? He didn't defy anything. Shane McMahon jumping from the top of the 20-foot steel cell in an attempt to hit an elbow drop to Undertaker. No, that wasn't surprising. We knew he was going to do this. Chris Jericho countering the phenomenal forearm with a midair code breaker to defeat AJ Styles. No, not really. Zack Ryder knocking a confident Miz off the top of the ladder to become new Intercontinental Champion. That was a little surprising. That's number two. Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, and Stone Cold Steve Austin delivering Sweet Chin Music, Mr. Socko, Mandible Claws, and the Stone Cold Stunner, respectively, to the League of Nations. Yeah, I would say that's surprising. I would say that wins it. Ric Flair restraining Sasha Banks, allowing Charlotte to lock up Becky Lynch in a figure eight and become the first ever new WWE Women's Champion. No, that wasn't surprising. I wasn't shocked by that. It's either Ryder or Michaels, Foley, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm going to go with Zack Ryder because I didn't see that happening at all. Yeah, Zack Ryder wins. Yeah. So they have the live results of the poll once you vote. Zack Ryder is winning easily. Number two is Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, and Austin delivering a beatdown of the League of Nations. And then, or actually Shane McMahon jumping off the cell. Why is that a surprise to people? That's number two to the poll. And then Michaels, Foley, Austin, number three on the surprise list. Like, it's not surprising. That's crazy to me. Like, that's... No. Why did you think Shane McMahon was not going to jump off the top of the cell? You knew he was going to do something crazy. Alas, we have reached a conclusion of the WWE Fan Council survey. And we've reached the end of the podcast for this week. So we're going to get back to normal business at some point here with the NFL. Once things pick up around the NFL, Twitter will be streaming games on Thursday Night Football now, which is pretty interesting. And the NFL is talking about expanding its playoff field. Oh, my God. No. Anyhow, we will talk about that and a whole lot more. Again, remember, you can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, at joemsrightarm, Instagram, jmontanasrightarm, Vine, Facebook, all the trimmings here for your social media needs. I don't know if we're going to do Snapchat one day. That seems like a lot of work, even though you're just snapping pictures of things. I just feel like there needs to be more happening there. I need more feedback. Anyhow, maybe we'll get to that one of these days. That'll do it for this week's podcast. Until next time, have a good one, everybody.